We've been in Isaiah chapter 63 before, but we return to another phrase that's in here that'll, I trust, endear our hearts toward the Lord and help us to see even more how He is inclined to us as a Heavenly Father. Isaiah 63, verse 7 through 14. Isaiah says, I shall make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has granted them according to His compassion and according to the abundance of His loving kindnesses. For He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So He became their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His mercy, He redeemed them, and He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, and therefore He turned Himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. But then His people remembered the days of old, of Moses. Where is He who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of His flock? Where is He who put His Holy Spirit in the midst of them, who caused His glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for Himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like the horse in the wilderness, they did not stumble. As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. And that far for our reading today. The Lord bless His word to us as we consider it. This phrase at the end of verse 9, to lift and to carry. Now, when you think about these words, these verbs, each of those has a special sense all its own in the way that we use it. For example, to lift, as in, I lift. What does that mean when we say, I lift, but that we exercise ourselves with weights, whether at home or in a gym? The second one, to carry, as in, I carry. That may mean that we exercise our Second Amendment right to keep and bear a firearm. But when you put these things together, to lift and to carry is something that everyone, young or old, child or adult, does every day. We lift and carry everything from a load of laundry to groceries to other people and even our own voices. We lift and carry. Even the shoplifter lifts and carries his ill-gotten gains, hopefully unsuccessfully. He lifts and carries. We lift and carry in many things, many ways, every day. But we don't want to let this idea of lifting and carrying in any way lessen and be in our minds in relation to God, that because it's so routine with the way we carry our own lives, that it somehow we come to this passage when we see it as nothing really special, as we're told that God lifts and carries His people. You look at Isaiah. He certainly didn't think it a routine statement. It was yet another way among the many ways that he conveys God's special care and favor for His people, that he here proclaims again by this phrase that very thing, God's love and care, His special gracious dealings with His people. Again, verse 9 at the end of it, He lifted and carried them all the days of old. What is Isaiah doing? But by this phrase, he's putting before us two truths about the Lord's gracious dealings with not only Israel and Judah under Old Testament times, but he's conveying to us his gracious dealings with you and me today. That's what he's doing. You should know and believe then that the Lord lifts and he carries you. It's that simple. It's that wonderful. It's that beautiful. And when the Lord lifts and carries you, he's doing it in two ways, as we'll see today. The first one is that he's lifting and carrying you as salvation. The second thing he's doing is that he's lifting and carrying you after salvation. As salvation and after salvation, the Lord lifts and carries his people. We look at the first point, that as salvation, the Lord lifts and carries us. You notice how verse 9 goes. This is often called a Hebrew parallelism, that as a couplet or a pair, one of the lines in a verse is related in a different way, but yet makes the same point that the previous line makes. It fills out the truth. And so as you look at verse 9, in that, in his love and mercy, he redeemed them, so too he lifted and carried them all the days of old. Or if you look at the verse again, that in all their affliction, he too was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So too, in his love and mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted and carried them all the days of old. This is a couplet. It's poetry. It's a Hebrew parallelism. But however you look at it, God is saving and redeeming his people. He has lifted and he has carried them. To lift and to carry then is one and the same as saving and redeeming. God lifts and carries as salvation. Now I think that we can relate to that picture. We can put that image easily in our minds. We can look about at a fireman, and we can see this fireman in a moment of desperation entering a smoke-filled, firing building. And what does he do? But he lifts somebody that is overwhelmed and overcome with inhalation of the smoke. And he lifts them up and he carries them out. It may be something less serious, as his climbing a tree with a ladder and getting out that kitten that will not come down, and he lifts the thing up so tenderly in his big hand, and he slowly makes his way to his chest and then slowly down the ladder to the ground. We know that image. We can picture, as we've seen sometimes on media reports, of the Good Samaritan neighbor who, after an earthquake has happened, and we see him digging through the rubble, seeking to bring out from all the debris and the stone a neighbor that's trapped underneath. We know the image from the Coast Guard and a helicopter that lays down this long line in a cage with a little bed at the bottom. And this person that is adrift at the sea is able to have this basket put right in front of him and make his or her way to the inside, get himself in, hold on, and then that bed lifts up and the helicopter carries the person away. But beyond all comparison is the mother who takes up her child in the face of a mean animal, or while injured while playing, and runs over in utter concern and lifts up the child and puts the child on her breast and pats the back and carries the child away so tenderly. We know this image of lifting and carrying. It means to rescue. It is salvation. It is relief to the troubled heart. And the fact of the matter that Isaiah is putting it is that God lifts and carries as salvation his people. His lifting and carrying is our very salvation. It's our very rescue. And he does all of this as Isaiah is preaching in the very person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who is in view at chapter 63. You remember how we saw that a few months ago in verses 1 through 6, and how this one who comes from Bozrah, who comes from Edom, and his garments are all stained with blood. And we saw how that is a picture, according to the book of Revelation, and as the gospel teaches, Jesus' own garments and the blood on the garments, and how God executed justice against his enemies and mercy toward his own. That there at the death of Jesus Christ, blood was shed, garments were stained for the forgiveness of sin. And how at the last day of judgment, Christ will tread the winepress of his wrath against the enemies who reject the provision of the cross and forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And they will have their own blood shed under everlasting judgment. That's what verses 1 through 6 were about. It's all about Jesus Christ. And how interesting then that these verbs that we take up at verse 9, of lifting and carrying, would remind us of the very cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus' words in John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In John chapter 8, verse 28, again that word of lifting is mentioned in relation to the cross. We read here that when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. John chapter 12, if I am lifted up, I will draw all mankind to myself. Right there with the cross, God has put this word of lifting. And not only lifting, but of carrying as well. You remember in John chapter 19, in verse 17, that there's this man, Simon of Cyrene, who went out carrying the cross of our Lord Jesus. There in his moment where in full humanity, flogged, crowned, scoffed under his thorns, he was weak. He needed help to carry that cross. And God in his providence allowed for Simon of Cyrene to carry that cross, as our Lord Jesus too bore it. But there also as Jesus, in the context of the cross, had his body carried. In Luke 23, verse 53, we're reminded here that in being taken down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea took down the body and wrapped it in a linen cloth. Here again is that image of lifting and carrying the body of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was at his very lowest point under the sentence of death, and God the Father providing for lifting and carrying of our Lord Jesus Christ as his salvation. By Simon and Joseph, our Lord's body, our Lord himself, given in death for us, was lifted and carried at its lowest point. How about you? How does your life relate to the lifting and the carrying of our Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection in these verbs? How is it that in terms of salvation that these things relate to you? How does this square with you? Have you met a lowest point in the matter of sin? Have you come to see that you've offended a holy God with holy laws, and therefore God must respond to you with holy wrath and justice? Has it been that with this matter of sin, that in these things sin has taken you, sin has captured you, that it's shackled you, it's bound you? Have you come to see that it in fact has broken you and has slain you? That's what sin has done to us. But here, as God lifted and carried his Son, as his salvation at his lowest point, we're then brought to behold for ourselves that because he died for sinners, if God the Father carried him through that lowest point, even the deepest point, the farthest reached from Almighty God, God will lift and carry you as salvation. That's why we have these wonderful words of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 27. Peter's speaking about the responsibilities that we have in submitting to the will of God. And he puts the example of Jesus Christ before his revilers, his tormentors, in the wake of the cross. And it says in verse 24 that he himself bore, he himself literally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. There is in Jesus Christ, there at the cross, a provision, a carrying of our sins and bearing them there at the cross. It is all what Peter often does in quoting Isaiah. Back in chapter 53, that famous chapter of Isaiah. And what do we read? But that our griefs he himself bore. Our sorrows he carried. Again in verse 11, my servant will justify the many as he will bear, as he will carry their iniquities. How burdensome it was that our Lord Jesus, though he did not carry the fullness of the cross because Simon helped him, yet he endured all the fullness and carried and bore the very wrath of God there at the cross. The weight of our sins was laid on him, and he had hoisted them. He had carried them and endured the wrath of God as our salvation. How burdensome that weight was. How troubling to his soul. How uncomfortable in the fullness of his pure humanity that he endured the wrath of his Father, that he would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here I am enduring your wrath with no one to help me. I'm sinking under the weight of what sin deserves before a holy and almighty God. What grief he was carrying. It wasn't merely the weight of a crown of thorns. It wasn't merely the weight of his own body sinking there under the spikes with which he was crucified. No, it was the weight of our own sin. And yet he lifted and he carried our sins. He was lifting, as it were, and carrying us as our Savior. Here is our Lord Jesus Christ, graciously, mercifully, wonderfully, as if a fireman toward the needy, or that good Samaritan neighbor, or that coast guard at sea, or that parent tenderly embracing that vulnerable child. Our Lord Jesus Christ lifted and carried us and all of our sins there at Calvary. And so will you then cry to him? Are you at such a low point? Sin has entangled you, beset you, slain you. You may cry out to him, for our Lord Jesus Christ hears those who will. He knows what it is to suffer under sin, to call on God for salvation. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus gives us this very hope, a merciful God to so lift and carry us in lifting and carrying his Son as salvation for us. And so we want to see the fullness of where that phrase goes in light of the New Testament. But we want to see that second point that comes from what Isaiah is saying in chapter 63, verse 9. The lifting and carrying is not only as our salvation. God's lifting and carrying us goes after salvation. It continues. Will God lift and carry us only once? Will he do it there for us in our lowest point in relation to sin, and then not do it again? Inconsistently, arbitrarily do it from there on out? That doesn't sound like a father. No fireman would do that in a moment of rescue. No good Samaritan neighbor, no Coast Guard, no mother or father would do that to his child. And so we should see that the Lord will lift and carry us even after salvation. In fact, because he has saved us, it is that he would keep us and lift us and carry us all the way to the end. That fireman went down the ladder and brought that kitten to safety. That parent brings the child all the way until the tears stop. Our Lord Jesus Christ lifts us and carries us all the way to glory, all the way to the finish line. God lifts and carries you after salvation. It's implied here in what Isaiah says in verse 9 once again. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. You see, what Isaiah is doing is reflecting on what happened at the Red Sea and in relation to Pharaoh, and how he redeemed his people and he brought them out. But then all the days of old, all the 40 years through the wilderness, even through their rebellion and times of sinning against him, God was still carrying them. All the days of old, all through their wandering and even resisting him, God was faithful after salvation. That's implied here at verse 9. But it's also said elsewhere. Because Isaiah is going back to Moses there at the plains of Moab as the people are on the verge of entering into the promised land. And so his lifting and carrying them endured all the way through the troubles and the miseries of that desert journey, much like our journey in this life, until they arrived at the doorstep of the promised inheritance. Even as we will arrive at the doorstep of eternity on our moment of death, and our Lord Jesus will lift and carry us into our promised land. That's what Isaiah is here reflecting on in view of the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31, he cites that passage that says, "In the desert, how you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way you walked until you came to this place." There it is, the Lord lifting and carrying us to the fullest end of our salvation. God carried Israel from Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, all the way in to the promised land. It's there again at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Yes, you should see that God often reminds us of the same promise. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10 through 12. "He found him in a desert land, and in the howling emptiness of a wilderness, he encircled him, and he cared for him, and he guarded him as the apple of his eye, and like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them and carried them on his pinions." You know the image that J.R.R. Tolkien gets to in The Lord of the Rings and how those eagles come down and snatch them up, and it looks frightful and scary, but it is only for their deliverance. God in like way surrounds and enfolds and keeps and carries his people all the way to their utter safety. In Isaiah 46, verse 3, God says that he bore his people since birth and carried them since the womb. God here endears his own person toward his people in the image of the mother, encircling and surrounding and carrying her child all the way since the womb. That's why we should cherish Isaiah 40, verse 11. And read it as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd and guardian of our souls, that like a shepherd, he will tend his flock In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. Friend, that is the affection that Jesus Christ has for you as you believe on him for salvation. This is the kind, merciful way that he regards you. This is how it goes. He carries his people. He's there as a shepherd to his injured sheep and binds them up in his bosom and carries them all the way home from that precipice to which they had wandered. Did you know that that's your Savior? That is the one who's speaking to you today. That's his voice of the shepherd. You may be here today, and you're lost in a confusion of life experiences. And you have to look back then by the Word of God and be reminded of how he has dealt well with you. The Lord your God, your shepherd Jesus Christ, has been lifting and carrying you all these years. You look back and you see some of you very involved surgeries, repetitive surgeries. Where has the Lord been but lifting and carrying you through those very things? He's giving you good physicians, surgeons, kind people, your friends and family, your loved ones in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been lifting you and carrying you. Others of you going through family matters where people hate the gospel. They're persecuting you. People that you've loved and you've set before them the way of life in Jesus Christ, and they're wandering as if sheep that have strayed badly. What is the Lord doing for you? And on the basis of the Word of God, for you to trust, but he's lifting and carrying them all the same. Or how about all of these distressing circumstances with trying to find employment, seeking out good friends that will love you in life, people that are difficult with whom to work or live, financial pressures, your own daily sense of inadequacy and falling short of the mark even as a Christian person? These things weigh upon you. And you have to look back and say that the Lord has lifted me. The Lord is carrying me, even though I may not see it. Certain crises, certain needs. The fact of the matter is that right up to the current moment, the Lord has lifted and carried you. And from this next moment, he's going to do the same. He will in all of your needs for this life, the trials, the tragedies that may not have even come about in your or my life. This is strength to help us go forward, that the Lord, because of the cross and because of the resurrection and because Christ has made it into glory at his Father's right hand, that he's going to carry us there and come back and receive us to himself. And all of your needs for sanctification in this life, the sin that so easily entangles you, you look in the mirror and you see and say, how are you growing? Are you any different now than the days before? You have the same sins that stick to you. You're going to go into worship and you're going to confess the very same sins you did last week. And if by chance in the Lord's will you don't this week, you probably will next week. We need to be reminded that our sanctification, like our justification, is by grace alone. Sanctification entails our cooperation and our works, of course, but it's by grace that's underneath it all. It's not our own efforts purely. It's by the power of God's grace that enables us to do those things that God calls us to do. And all of our needs, God, having lifted and carried us, will lift us and carry us right into glory. I was given a mug as a brand new Christian. And you know this story very well, probably. It's the story of Mary Stevenson. Wrote a little poem as a 14-year-old girl in the midst of her troubles in life. Took the poem, put it in a suitcase. Somehow people had known about the poem. It was only later in life that she found the poem in a black satchel in the garage as she's clearing out. And she realized that now she can claim the rights to this poem that have been distorted and used in various ways. I was given this on a mug as a new Christian, and you know it very well. But like as I started, could it be so routine that the words that are on this mug that you know very well have become so familiar to us that we've not treasured and cherished them as perhaps we need to again? One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why? When I needed you most, you've not been there for me." The Lord then replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." We know that so well. We may go home and have a cup of coffee, put it in the mug, the footprints mug. Maybe we'll go into the bathroom, and there in the bathroom is a plaque or some other place on the walls of our home is the footprints poem. And yet we pass by it, and we miss an opportunity to stop, pause, reflect. This stuff is true. This is actually happening in my life. In fact, this has been my life. No more, in fact, this is my life. The Lord is lifting and carrying me. And it's all because of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is fitting to have baked, to have impressed, fastened to our hearts. The Lord carries us. Whatever your situation, sin, misery, you have to know that in Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, God lifts and God carries you, not only as your salvation, but after your salvation, right up to glory. As the psalm says, Psalm 28, "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever." Let it be your comfort today, friend, to know that the Lord lifts and He carries you in His Son. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, what a simple and adorable message that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, that as you carried your Son in your fatherly ways there to the cross, and carried us, as it were, in Him. Help us to see that through faith, because of His resurrection and His place at your right hand, that you're carrying us even now. Not only as our salvation, but each step that we walk as saved people. Lord, is there someone here this day that in a lowest moment, perhaps now, that it all makes sense that they must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if they are to be saved? Otherwise, they will be overwhelmed as that adrift person in the sea to the waves and the winds of destruction that would bring them to sink down to the uttermost depths of your wrath. Lord, save your people. Be a shepherd to wandering sheep this day. For those that may return even now to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, and others to realize that he is a shepherd once and forever and is lifting and carrying at this moment. Lord, help us. Forgive us for our indifference to you, our lack of earnestness in the wonderful promises of the gospel. Lord, heal and mend us today, and grant grace through your word and in due time the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we might see our shepherd's care. Bless us in him and in his ways. We pray in his name. Amen.